Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to Psych Legal Pop. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist. But the legal part of this, my sister Brooke is off visiting her daughter in school. So today I have the wonderful Amy Archer from Little Miss Recap.
Hello. So the legal is gone. So it's psych meatball pop today.
Meatball?
Yes, I'm a little meatball.
All right. I'm not quite. What is that?
It's just the way it's the way I'm shaped. Like I'm a little meatball on two toothpicks. I can because I feel like my writing lens is kind of useless for this show. So I don't even bring it up. But that's that is how I would look at things, I guess.
These are stories.
Oh, are they ever?
And could you as a writer even imagine, like, if you sat down with someone and told them this, they think this is what? That makes no sense.
Why? It's when I don't know. I think you've said your husband does not watch. When I try to explain to my husband what is happening here,
yeah,
he thinks I'm insane.
Yes.
Like, so this guy wants to bang a bunch of Brazilian women. So he designs jewelry that kind of looks like a vagina. And he's like, what?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you presented that in a book, people would be like, she's ridiculous. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. 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 You know what, though? I always talk on my show about like how, and this is very common, and I'm sure you get this as a therapist in a different variation, but I'm always getting, you should write a book about me. Oh, if I told you my life, you should write a book about me. Garrick is 100% one of those people.
He's one of those.
He would say to me, you should write a book about me. And I would say, no, sir. No, thank you.
Yeah. I get a lot of, ooh, are you analyzing me? Ooh, don't.
Oh, yeah.
Don't. But therapize me. God forbid I sit next to you at a wedding and ooh, oh no. And I'm just like, no. What do I care?
Do they think there's like a network of therapists? Like you guys are on the dark net and you're sharing all the notes about this person?
Well, and also, okay, I find everybody fascinating, but why in God's name would you sit down next to someone and that being your job, do it?
I know.
Do you know what I mean? It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like if I was a gardener, would you ask me to mow? Ooh, you're going to mow the lawn next? What are you going to do? What's going to happen? Right? It's like, huh? No, I'm here. Just let me enjoy my goddamn cake, for Christ's sake.
Let me just eat the cake and judge everybody on their outfits. That's all I'm going to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get started, I saw on your social media, and I am so jealous that you and Amanda went to New York to see Reality Gaze, and that I saw the picture, and it was I was so jealous. I'm like, I want to go.
Yep, we 100% did. Matt and Jake, I know you've been listening a long time. I've been listening a long time. They put on an amazing show. I mean, these two.
Because I was flipping through the pictures, and I was showing Brooke, and I'm like, Poodles and Daisy Dukes at this point. And then like, and then here they are, they've got wigs on. I mean, the pictures that you had, they were outfit changes. I'm like,
they do the full costume changes. It's amazing. It's such a great show, and they have managed to tailor it in a way that like, you don't even necessarily, like, it helps, of course, if you listen to them, but I would have no problem bringing somebody who didn't. It would be entertaining enough. You know what I mean? That you would be able to get through.
I listen to very few of the shows that they cover, and I'll still listen to them talk about 90 Day. If you know the broad strokes, then that's all you need. Or you just look up a picture or something.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I've been listening to them since the beginning-ish of Reality Gays, because I know they had another podcast about Southern Charm.
Right.
This is one of the things that I love about just life and, you know, being able to hear people's stories. And when you're able to look at, you know, someone's career, it always gives me a lot of faith, which is that both of them, you know, they were performers and they both studied music and, you know, they come to LA and it's like, well, what are we going to do? And I get the sense that they both sort of maybe tried to do some stuff in the business, but also they had other projects and other things. And
Matt was a therapist.
And it sounded like he, if I ever meet Matt, I have to find out like where he is in the process. Cause I think he was he studying or did he get licensed?
I have to find out. I'm pretty sure.
And so you're hearing this and getting licensed is a long process. Yes. And so you're sort of in this place of like, is this what I want to do? Is this, no. And what I love about it is you see the show now and you're like, everything you've done is led up right here. And this is what you were meant to do.
Yes.
And that's, and I try, because I work with young people, I'm always trying to explain to them, like, you'll have these jobs when you're young and you won't realize why you needed this job or why you were doing this thing, or it'll feel like, quote unquote, a big giant waste of time. And then you'll go back and you go, oh, okay, this is what it was. And it's, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only do it looking back. But I just seeing them on the stage and just hearing them talk about cabaret that they did and just torturing their friends and 90 outfit change. I'm like, here you are. And people are paying and loving it.
Yeah.
And it just makes me really
happy.
It's
fantastic. It's fantastic. And you know what? The thing about them is you never feel like they are. Don't you love how we just promote another podcast on your podcast?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you never feel that they are tired of doing this. You always feel like they come to it excited, ready. And I love that. I love when my podcasters are excited to talk about these shit shows. I don't want to hear that you're bored of it or tired of it. I want to hear that, like, Garrick Merrifield still does it for you. That's what I want to hear.
You don't want to hear how Brooke and I complain endlessly, like, this is too long. Like, why is this?
Well,
like this?
There are certain shows that lend themselves to that. Like Married at First Sight. Oh, gosh.
Well, just some of these documentaries. I'm like, you could have tightened this up a bit.
But see, that's a storytelling thing, though. Like, I feel like that's a valid criticism. Like, when you're looking at Daughters of the Cult, for example, I don't know if you watched that, but I'm like, this did not need all these subplots. This did not need 4 episodes. Like, that's different. I feel like that's a valid criticism. But
yeah,
like, they're always just excited to show up and talk about 90 Day. And I appreciate that. Yes. Even if they're faking it, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds awesome. It sounds. Now, how long were you all there for?
I went in on a bus Friday night, had dinner with my sister. Went to the show with Amanda. The next day, I was on a bus back home at 11 a.m. going right past the Cinder Inn. The Cinder. In East Stroudsburg. East Stroudsburg is right near me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Only like Have you been to the Cinder Inn? Would you, on a your romantic first date meeting, be thrilled that someone booked you in, you know, booked a table at the Cinder Inn?
Well, I'm really glad they made reservations because there was one other person there.
So weird. Well, so today we are talking about Seeking Sister Wife, season 5, episode 6, Seeking Commitment. And before we get into the couples or the families, as they call them, tell me high level, what's your feeling so far about this show up until now?
I'm loving it.
Yes.
Like, I cannot wait to talk to people about this show. It is so fantastic because we did what you guys did and we took a break from Sister Wives while everyone was grieving Garrison and giving the family a little bit of space. And I just found that my Cody rage has to go somewhere, you know? So Garrick Merrifield comes along. Like, I covered seasons 3 and 4 of Mary Payne on Hey Bunky. So, like, I was familiar with the show.
Yeah.
But when I saw this season, I was like, here it is. Here's the place for my rage. He's like a rage container. I just poured it in. But I think it's a good season. I'm not sure what's going on with the Salahuddins.
Yeah.
But I'm here for them. You know, whatever. Yeah. And hey, the Davises are always entertaining with Danielle Davis. Oh, I'm only 24. Yeah. Like, I love her. She's great.
Yes, yes.
I love them all. And Garrick, he's just so gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just a place for me to rage out.
So
and I love it.
You're trapped in a room. But would you rather be trapped with Garrick or Cody for 48 Jesus. Hours?
Can I jump out a window? Is there
no,
an open window?
No, it is a cement room and you have to stay there for the 48 hours. You will be fed. You get to sleep and there is food. But you're not going to be deprived of those things. But
do
you
they
have to
their
sit
phones?
And listen to them.
Do they have their phones?
No, you don't have phones. And you can't muzzle them.
Okay, here's the thing. I think this is going to be like the events of December 18th on my podcast. I feel like I would pick Cody, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Garrick would keep trying to talk to me, and Cody would just hate me and not even say a word to me. So we would just sit in silence until it was over. But Garrick would be like, did you hear God whisper through that corner? And I'd just be like, get away from me. Get away from me.
Yeah, he's asking you, do you have any Brazilian roots? Or what's your background?
Yeah, it's just no. Mm-hmm.
I feel a breeze, you know, in the cemented room. I feel a breeze. I think that's God telling us we should have sex right now.
He's such an idiot.
Because this is what God wants us to do in order to escape this box.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Oh, God just called. God just called on my imaginary telephone.
Yeah, this is a great show. I had watched or knew a little bit about it, and Brooke always watched it and mm-hmm. such. But yeah, it is the gift that keeps on giving, because you watch this and you're like, no, this can't be real. No, you can't be this. No.
I know. No. And I covered. And
then you're like, oh, no, this is happening. This is really happening.
It was 3 and 4 because Sidian was on and I fell in love with Sidian. This is where my love for Sidian Jones became a thing.
And Sidian was which season?
He started in season 3, but he was also on season 4.
Okay.
And his wife was Tasha. And he's just like, he's, you know what? He's like a Willy Wonka character brought to life. Like, he's like, he plays guitar and he writes poetry, but he's also like, I don't know, creeping on these women. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But I felt like he was, if, and that's a big if this can be done in some kind of respectful way to women, I think he has that down.
Yes.
But I still am not sure that that's true. So,
yes. Well, and I think we're seeing a bit, right, of something of a reverse with the Sherwood family.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's start. Well, let's just start there. Okay. The first one that's here. Because, you know, we were recapping the show with Corey and Carly. And
I heard
talking,
that episode.
Oh, my
good.
God. We were dying of laughter mm-hmm. because Shane, just this date, watching the date between Ashley and Sarah, when she says, oh, that's what it's like to feel when you're attracted to someone. Like, oh, no, Shane.
Oh, Shane.
Poor Shane. I cannot figure Shane out. And
so Amanda found some info.
Okay.
So
does he have a health issue?
Oh, I think so. And that makes me
because he said
in.
Something.
Yes.
Because he said something. There was one word. Yes.
Yes. So okay. Amanda found them somewhere. I want to say on an app somewhere. She was doing, you know, boots on the ground detective work. And they are definitely polyamorous. And how it would work is he would not have anything to do with this woman. This woman would be with her.
Yes.
And that's it. And if they were going to have a child, he would want, and I had speculated this, that they would probably want the child to be biologically Shane's, because they would have to use, two women are going to have to use sperm from somewhere.
Yeah.
So they would
even
use
if
his.
It is Shane's. That's right. Sad.
I know.
Shane's so that the best you got.
So their kids would be siblings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think I think they're polyamorous. I don't know why they're on the show.
Well, then what is Shane? Does Shane then get to date women if he wants to? Does he get to have relationships outside of it? Is that what's
according
happening?
To their profile, it said sometimes they date as a couple, sometimes they date individually.
Okay. Got it.
So that's the thing.
It was just because the last episode two episodes ago, we see Ashley and this girl, Sarah, who is, you know, very beautiful. And they have this they have a lot of chemistry.
Feet were touching on that park bench.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. They kept showing like their feet, their feet and their hands. Yes. And like, you know, I think they were just kind of waiting like, ooh, maybe they'll touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get something very odd that Shane says, which is, they're talking about, Ashley asks him, how would you feel if I kissed Sarah? And he was like, oh, I don't know how I would feel about that. And, you know, he's like, I have my walls up because of everything that happened with Grace. And we don't know. But he then says this thing where he says something about watching them kiss. And he says, never witnessed or seen. I've thought of it.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
And I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. I'm like,
It's in his spank bank.
Yes.
100%. 100%.
I'm like, oh, you just let that slip with us, Shane. I was like, okay.
Okay.
And so, you know, again, you're courting someone, you're meeting someone new. Where do you go to meet?
Oh, you go to putt-putt. Putt-putt. 100%. Where I took my kids when they were five.
You go to indoor glow in the dark during the day to play putt-putt. And then you get cotton candy margaritas that look disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know who is coordinating all these dates for people. We have a boba shop with little squashmallows in the background. We have, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And now idiots are at the putt-putt. I don't know.
I think they ran through a bunch of stuff and they're like, okay, the putt-putt place will let us have it.
Yeah, axe throwing because I'm too afraid they'll both throw an axe in my back. That's what Shane's thinking.
Yes. And then of course, Shane's got no chill. Shane's got no game and no chill.
Nope.
Because, and I'm really with Sarah on this. And this is the part that I was like, I'm really confused now because the whole dynamic was Shane's coming in hot. He's all upset about the Grace situation. This woman wants to meet you very quickly, really quickly. And instead of just, hey, let's get to know each other. You know, let's play this game. Let's have fun, which is what Ashley's agenda is. Mm-hmm. His agenda is, do you want to have kids? Have you ever been in something like this
interviewing
before?
Interviewing her. It's real weird.
Wait, so you've never had this kind of thing before? You've been part of these couples? Well, I don't think she wants this. It's like, and she corrects him at one point. I was like, thank God.
And this is gross. And to be fair, I've been married for 18 years, so I don't know how polyamory works. But it feels like there's a permission structure here. Like he has to give his permission for her to continue to date that person. And that feels gross to me.
Yeah. And
like, let Ashley date who she wants. And then, you know, if she orders a vegan salad and you want to veto the whole thing, you do that at a later date. Let her make sure she likes this person first.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it feels like that's a lot of control because I understand the two of you need to get along. But I was happy that Sarah slowed his roll a little bit. She's like, hold on a second. That's not what I said. I didn't say that I don't want this. I'm saying that that this is something that's new to me. And Sarah, if anyone is being smart, she's saying, let me get to know you people. Let's see where this goes. Like, I mean, and what is this rush? So Shane, he's like, well, we just, when Ashley and I decide something or when we pick something, we got to move. We got to go. We got to make a decision. I'm like, what are you? You want to have this locked down before she gives birth? I don't understand what's happening here.
Well, this is where he's like, you know, we're fast movers. We're fast movers. And then we kind of find out why. And I'm not going to lie to you. Things are interesting now if there's like an illness here.
Yeah. He said, we're fast movers. We live in the moment and we need to move fast on this.
Okay.
And then she just says, you know, she's like, listen, you can't make assumptions. I just met you guys. That's verbatim. And then Shane has concerns that Sarah really isn't ready for this. And because time is working against him health-wise, and that's all they say.
Did you lean in? I leaned in. I hate to admit I did.
I had to pause. I had to rewind. I had to rewind because I was like, wait a second. What is, because I always list, I watch everything with closed captions.
So do I. So do I.
And so I was like, hold on a second. Let me backtrack.
But he did say health-wise, right?
He said health, and that's what this closed captioning said too, which isn't always perfect.
Right.
But it I felt like, okay, it's here and I heard it.
It's just going to be like terms of endearment or something. Like, are we going to get Shirley MacLaine screaming at the hospital nurses to give my Shaney his medicine? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm here for this, though, because this just got interesting.
But then if you're not going to be around, why do you care if you like this person? I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. I maintain, this is my theory is that I think that this was all Ashley's idea. I think Ashley maybe isn't as heterosexual as she thinks. And
yeah, she might be like Pan or yeah.
Yes. And I think that she is the one that had this idea and she wanted to do this. And poor Shane, I get the sense that Shane probably thought to himself, oh, this will be so cool, two women and I can go and I can sleep with other women. And I think he's now maybe in it and realizing, oh, I don't like this. This isn't good for me. But this is a moving train. Like, I can't get off because she's going.
We need to know what this health diagnosis is. We need to know.
Yes.
And maybe because I've
like
been
a chronic disease or like something like MS or something like that, because that I could see him being like, someone else has got to be around.
Here's my theory, too. I always feel like Matt Sharp definitely has enough material that he could do a poly show. Right. Mm-hmm. He did Seeking Brother Husband. We found out most of those people were actually polyamorous. He's doing this. I feel like maybe Shane's health concerns are so critical that he can't wait for Matt Sharp to get that off the ground. He's got to be on this show. He's like, you don't understand, dude. Time is ticking. I need to be on something. And Matt Sharp's like, okay, I'll just put you on this.
You'll be fine. You'll fit right in. Put on that pineapple shirt again and your gold chain.
Because this is not Seeking Sister Wife. Like, it's not the right... She'll be a sister wife. No, to him, maybe.
Well, I do think the element of the fact that they want her to have children with Shane, I think gives it a little bit more of a sister wife piece. But yeah, they're a funny one. And Ashley really isn't too into Shane at all. And you can see that.
No. And I read in this app description that in their profile that he's a stay-at-home dad. Mm-hmm. So fine. Great. I'm glad he is. But get out there and weed whack that yard. Those weeds against that fence were like 3 feet high. That is tick heaven out there.
Oh, okay. You live out there. I do.
I live out there. I was laughing at, was it, you guys were talking about the florist.
Yes.
That is such a thing here. That is such a thing.
That was like, oh my God, are you driving to someone's house? What's happening?
Yeah, so we have greenhouses where people grow the stuff right there and you go and you get your plant, your flowers, your whatever, right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do
you think that she called them assholes?
We were debating. I totally think she did, and I was here for it. Yeah, she called them assholes and it was great.
So the Salahuddins are assholes. Mm-hmm. I thought she was saying that people, right, like, the idea of dealing with more people, God, but people are assholes.
The other thing that has been presented is she could have been saying, like, they could have done a hard edit and kind of put it out of context for us, but she may have been saying men are assholes and I can't even put up with the one I have. Do you know what I mean? So maybe that was it, but I loved it. I loved that it felt like she was calling them assholes because I was like, whoa, that was harsh. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's also like, thank you. The first time we get some real, we get a real answer.
We need to get this florist over to wherever the Merrifields are, Colorado. We need to get her over there.
Yeah. And then she'll just show up and be like, let me call all of this. Well, while we're here at the Salahuddins, do you have anything else to say about Shane and Ashley?
No, I'm much more invested in their storyline now that I think it's going to go the route of terms of endearment. So I'm there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Salahuddins, who we've seen sporadically, we saw them in the first couple episodes. They were eating dinner with Mom. And justice for Mom, I love this mom 100%.
I love her.
Love the mom. Mm-hmm. And personally, I think Naeem hates his mother.
They hate each other and they need therapy. They need family counseling.
Oh yeah. Big time. And this dynamic with the three of them is, and I also feel like, God, this woman, she's trying to, like, she's just helping you out with filming. You have no content.
No, you have, like, no content.
Why are you yelling at her constantly about this? It drives me nuts. So we learn that Keisha, on their way, they pick up the flowers. On their way to the airport, Keisha's like, yeah, I got a lot going on.
Yeah, that was weird because I heard you guys talking about the flight from Atlanta to Newark. That would be like, I think, like a 2 or 3 hour flight.
Oh, it's longer than
maybe.
I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think she would have to connect. That's probably a direct flight.
Yeah, probably.
But, like,
she's from Atlanta.
Yeah,
right?
It's probably a $300 or $400 plane ticket.
Do you think they paid for it?
I think they paid for it 100%. Yeah.
Because Keisha seems to be in between places and in between a lot in her life.
Keisha's like, got a lot going on down in Atlanta. Yeah, she is, like, halfway staying at a friend's house. This guy just got out of jail. I got to help him move. I got to go to Target, work my third shift. I don't know what she's doing. She's got a lot going on. And she's like me trying to get out of a social commitment. Oh, my kids have a game and my dog is sick and my car broke down. You know, because I don't like to leave my house.
That's what I love about social stuff, where a week before you're like, I would love to go. I can't wait to go to this thing. Mm-hmm. And as it gets closer and closer and closer, you start to become more and more resentful. Like, God damn them for inviting me to this thing. I don't want to go.
Yeah. Don't invite me anywhere. Don't invite me to your wedding. Don't invite me anywhere. Don't want to go.
So we learn that Keisha is not coming very last minute. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the Cinder Bar and Grill and have dinner. And so here we are a couple days later. And so poor Naeem's mom. So the way I understood this was basically, we invited mom over, but we didn't tell her why. And originally it was going to be to introduce her to Keisha, but Keisha's not here. So we're going
to tell her anything.
Yes.
Like, that's just let her have a dinner then. Yeah. Like, just heat up some mozzarella sticks from the freezer. Let her come in and eat something.
But the thing is that they were going to spring something on her. And then when she said, she made a comment like, good. You know, I think she was just, okay. So she's frustrated. She's upset. She's mad because you were going to spring someone on her. And they're so angry at her. It's like, they only want to hear what they want to hear. And if she says anything that's not exactly what is in their heads of what they feel like they should hear, she's the bad guy and she's terrible and she's awful. Did you hear him when she walked in? He's like, hello, mother dearest.
I have to say something too. Like, I was thinking about this. These people are at least in their 40s, right?
Yeah. Maybe early 30s, 40s. Yeah.
Do they really care that much what their mother thinks?
I don't know.
Keisha probably, they're like, oh, we needed Jamila's approval because, you know, we don't want our sister wife like to have to sit out Thanksgiving. Keisha'd probably like to sit out Thanksgiving. Like, just put me on the couch watching my murder shows, drinking a glass of wine. I don't want to go to Thanksgiving. I don't want to go to whatever you have going on. Like, it just makes no sense that they're, I just think this is all fake. They needed a storyline.
They needed something. But there's also that feeling of, you know, in our lives, we all have family members who have partners that we don't like or aren't our favorites. And you know what? You say you either share your opinion or not, or basically you're just like, okay, not my favorite person, but I will be nice. I will be pleasant. And I think mom would have done that. I think mom could have rolled with it. Mm-hmm. But they're making it such an issue that it's like, well, I'm with her.
She hates it. She's like, I don't know what is going on here, but I hate you.
you're mad that you're not meeting her. You're mad that she's not upset that she's not here. It's like, a person that she doesn't know has never met.
And the way they talk to each other is so toxic.
Yes.
Like at the one dinner, he's saying to her like, oh, if I need therapy, it's because of you. Like they're just back and forth. I'm like, wow, dude, that's not. So I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like, if you have a healthy relationship with your parents, you do care what they think about you a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't base your life decisions around it at 40 years old, but you care.
Yeah.
But it seems like they don't have that kind of relationship. So why does he care so hard?
this is sort of a classic example. I see this a lot with my clients, you know, over the years, which is this is the thing. When you grow up, you have no control. You have no control over who your parents are. You have no control over your family. When you're a kid, the things that happen to you, they are not your fault. It was the, you know, it was the cards that you were dealt. And is that fair? No, absolutely not.
Right.
And you have to learn tools and techniques to make it through your childhood. But once you're an adult, especially a 40-year-old man with who's married and has been married for a while now, you don't get to blame your parents anymore. Like, it's on you. You can say this is rooted from this experience with my parents, but you should have worked this stuff out with your mom by now, or you should have worked out how you feel. But he is very much like, that's a classic. It's your fault. You know, I'm unhappy right now, or angry, or mad, or whatever. And that's all on you. And it's like, no, Naeem, it's not. It's on you. You're the adult now. You get to decide how you're going to live your life and how you're going to handle all this stuff. And you and I are both parents. It's like, parenting is hard. There's something, you are never going to do it perfectly. There's always going to be something that you don't do well, you don't do right, because that is life. You know, because people aren't perfect all the time. They aren't. And you say things to your kids and you do things and you're not patient in moments and you maybe got too involved in your work. Like, there's so many examples of this that come from a really good place, but that do affect your children. And, okay, you know, am I supposed to be atoning this for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I agree. And I also think what tells me that something is awry is there's no boundaries here.
Yes.
Like, if he wants to live this lifestyle, then he needs to put up the healthy boundary of, okay, this is what my wife and I have chosen to do. And I understand you're not happy about it, but here's my boundary. You can't bring that to me.
Yeah.
And she needs to do the same.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree with this. So my boundary is I'm not going to have Thanksgiving dinner with this person or whatever. But like, there's none of that. It's just this like meshing and yelling, and it's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we do see some interesting stuff on the scenes coming up, because they showed us at the end, like the rest of the season. And you're like, oh,
they managed to get another sucker.
Yes. But that's not Keisha.
No, I don't think that's Keisha.
I think
that's somebody different.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think.
But there's some tears, and we're going to get back into the fact that, because I thought Brooke and I were talking
Keisha.
Last time.
Now you have me thinking it could be.
I thought it was her.
It could be.
But this is the thing, is that, like, we saw this in the last episode. Nyla, I always say her name.
Nyla.
The two of them claim to have talked a lot of this out, but you're on your way to pick up her from the airport, and you're like, do I get to kiss her? Mm-hmm. You know, you haven't even figured those things out yet.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent to, I don't know if you, did you ever watch season 3 or 4 of this or no?
No.
Okay, because there was a family, the Snowdens, and Dimitri Snowden
I've heard
was
of the Snowdens.
The husband.
Yeah.
And he had, like, banged their woman. The woman they were courting. He banged her and wasn't supposed to. So it was this whole thing where now his wife, I think her name was Ashley, had to, like, be along for every single date because we had to make sure that he was
this
not going to be
intimate.
This was
the pH balance, people,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So
yes.
I thought that was season one, because I watched part of season one.
I think they were on seasons 1, 2, and 3, I think.
So but he did this over and over again.
Yes.
Season one, same thing. He was going to go on one date with this
that's the one
young
I'm talking
woman.
About. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, oops. I have sex with her. Oh, no.
Yep.
Like Home Alone. Oh, no. How did that happen?
Well, and that's the thing. So this has echoes of that, I feel like. She doesn't trust him, plain and simple. So I can't even imagine. Like, we talked a lot about this when we did Couple to Thruple. You have to have such an immense bond of trust with your partner when you're opening a marriage or going into a situation like this. She doesn't trust him. It is doomed from the start.
No. And I think, I don't know if this is their particular situation, but I do think that maybe some people, they have a partner that maybe they've been with for a long time that cheats. And they've been, you know, over 17, 18 years, maybe there's been a few relationships and you don't want to end the marriage, which I totally understand.
Sure.
So your solution is, okay, well, if I okay it, if I say it's okay, then he's not cheating on me any, or she's not cheating on me any longer.
The betrayal is gone. The deception is gone.
But now you kind of are seeing what you're seeing now. And I wonder if this is what the mom knows.
Oh, maybe. And I wonder too, and nobody seems to have an answer for this. Do they have children? We don't know.
Yeah, we've never heard.
I mean, if they do and they're not showing them, that's fine. I commend that decision. But we don't, like, I feel like that changes things. Is there a family unit here that we're talking about? I mean, you're family without kids as well.
Yes.
But, like, are there children in the picture? Would you want more children? Would you not want children? Like, that adds some kind of dimension to it, I feel like, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Idea. Like, is this something, like, my theory about her is she's just tired. She doesn't want to put in the effort of banging him anymore. She doesn't want to put up with his bullshit anymore. Mm-hmm. So she's like outsourcing. Now, could this be empty nest? She's like, okay, the kids are gone. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to also outsource this part of my life. I don't know.
Well, or maybe it's been one of those things. Maybe Naeem is, you know, keep stepping outside of the marriage and is also a handful. And maybe he went to her and said, well, I wouldn't step up, you know, I wouldn't cheat on you if you gave me more love, if you paid more attention to me. And she's probably like, okay, here's my quote unquote quick fix.
Yeah.
Is it that? I don't know.
She's like, I'm busy. I'm solving JonBenet Ramsey's murder. I can't be bothered here.
Yeah.
I need to find another wife for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she doesn't seem to be ready to let anything go. So it's not as simple as you think.
She is a smoke show, isn't she? She is gorgeous. Oh,
yeah. I mean, yeah. God, she's that's why I said, I don't know. She could be 25 or she could be 65. I don't know. I don't know. She looks that good.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah,
she really is. Psych Legal Pop, we'll be back after these messages. Are you feeling lost or uncertain about your future? It's time to discover the true you. This is Tess Brigham from Psych Legal Pop podcast, and I want to tell you about my book, True You. In True You, I delve into the 6 key issues we all face during our quarter life crises. From career dilemmas to relationship struggles, this book provides simple tools and techniques to navigate each challenge. True You is your roadmap to personal growth. Even if you're not experiencing a quarter life crisis, True You will help you get to know yourself on a deeper level. If you're ready to unlock your true potential and create a life you love, pick up your copy of True You today. You can find more information on my website, www.tessbrigham.com, or it's available to purchase at Amazon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, so we're going to keep the Merrifields to the end. That's it's a dessert.
We always do too.
The key keeps on giving. Let's talk about the Ryans and I'm sure you figured out by now, because we talked about this. Like, we figured out that Becky's stepfather is bad man.
Yep.
That Becky claimed that she never saw anything negative at all with polygamy and sister wives and any of this when she was growing up, despite the fact that her stepfather was marrying 8-year-olds and
went
to prison.
Isn't that fascinating? Like, we get a little bit of that with Christine Brown too. Like, she's always like, I had the best upbringing, everything was fine. And then, like, she's also saying, my brothers and sisters were all made fun of and all run off because they were polygamous, but I was fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's this, you wonder, are you deluding yourself? I don't know. Like, is that a protection mechanism? where you're just trying not to see things. I don't know.
Yeah, because in the same, Christine would say, in the same breath, she would say, I couldn't, my grandfather went to prison. I couldn't claim certain things. And then, yeah, in the same breath, but I had this amazing childhood. My mom left when I was 19 and miserable, and she doesn't talk to anyone, but I had a great childhood. My brothers over here are saying that they were, it was awful, but I had a great childhood. I never saw that.
And you wonder, like, if it's a, like a defense almost that you have to put up, where you have to delude yourself, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like Becky's got a little bit of that going on. Oh, yeah. I mean, she thinks Justin's hot, so. Here, this is a Gen X reference for you. Did you ever see Weird Science, the movie?
Oh, yeah, but like millions of years ago.
The brother, Bill Paxton plays the brother, and he turns into like a sloth at the end.
Uh-huh.
That is who Justin reminds me of.
Oh, I have to go back.
The brother's name is Chet, and he's like a real dick bag through the whole thing.
Oh my God, that's like a million years ago.
I know. I bring the current references.
Yes. It's okay. These two, though, what though? So we saw last episode, they drive from Texas to Colorado because Stephanie called them and said, hey, let's hang out, come here. Then she calls back and says, no, I can't, I have to work. So they say, even though she's told us not to come, we're going to pack our bags and show up because we're sick of this shit.
It's some real twin flame energy.
Yes.
Like I've been told by Jeff and I never know that woman's name.
Her
birth name is Megan. So I just call her Megan. But she's been told by them, do not accept any barriers. Do not accept a no. Do not accept a PFA even. Get your ass in that car and go get what's yours. You paid for that gym membership. You own her now.
Oh, yeah. You pay for somebody's, you know, year-long membership. You demand that you speak to them. And my whole, what I love is, again, this is a little bit of this Naeem where things are happening to you. Like you, as if you have no control.
Yes.
Well, their big thing is, well, Stephanie keeps, you know, yanking our chains. She keeps coming around saying yes and no. And I will say yes. If she's called you up on a Friday and then canceled on you on a Saturday, I'm with you. Yes.
Sure.
That is
not. It's a dick move.
It's a dick move. But you then have a choice. You can say to Stephanie, hey, I'm done. Like, this is not working for me anymore. This back and forth. This is not a priority for you. It's a priority for us. We need to like be out of each other's lives. But instead, they use that as a, how dare she do this? Or
it's a challenge.
Really wants us.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
They're gross. This whole thing is disgusting. They're not respecting this woman's boundary. And Becky is, she's, I don't know who's worse, him or her. I can't figure it out.
I'm starting to think she is.
She might be.
I think she's worse because the way in which she sort of handled the whole thing, right? We see her, it's raining. So she gets out of the car. She goes up to the door. And of course, we see this thing that says, the voices of Stephanie and Greg, who we never hear. I was when's Greg showing up?
I need Greg on my screen. Yes. I need him to come out of that house, go over to that car, and give Justin a punch in the face. That's what I need to see. I know you don't condone violence. I don't either. But I need, even if it's a fake punch, I need to see the action of him being aggressive with Justin. Because I feel like Justin would back right down, and he's all like tough talk. Oh, I should go over there and punch him in the face. Whatever.
He said that. He said, when I was young, I would go in and punch him in the face. But now I'm old, so I can't do it. I have a bad shoulder here. I can't, you know, I can't really get the swing I used to.
Whatever, but, dude.
So she confronts Stephanie and basically says, she's essentially speaking for Justin.
Yeah.
Like, basic, hi, he likes you, you know? And she's just like, I want to be with Greg. And I've always loved Greg. And then Becky's like, I thought you weren't sexually attracted to Greg, you know? And so Becky is, obviously Becky's far more invested than we realize.
Yeah, well, she's wearing the necklace. She's wearing the necklace, don't forget.
Yeah.
A lot of jewelry floating around these communities.
Yes. A lot of ugly jewelry. A lot of ugg-o jewelry. With a lot of diamonds and other, you know, God, Garrick must have some money or something. But, you know, so it becomes this whole confrontation with Becky, and she's like, why, you know, essentially, why don't you love us? You said you didn't like Greg. Oh my gosh, you are cheating on us.
Yeah.
And then she asks a bunch of questions about, you know, well, when's the last time you slept with him? Because she's like, because I have to get tested.
I have to get tested. Okay. All right. This is so gross. She's basically like slut shaming this girl.
Yeah. And also you guys should have, if you should have all talked about this ahead of time, you shouldn't be getting like, there should have been some sort of agreement or
something. You know what this means. If she has to get tested, it's because they were raw dogging.
Oh, that's true. Justin's probably like, I can't. I just, no, it's not for me. I don't do condoms. So
I'm allergic to latex. Guys, pro tip. If somebody tells you they're allergic to latex, get an allergy test. Get proof. Yes. Get proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she then gets back in the car and he asks, what did she say? And Becky says, well, I feel like that's something you need to talk to Stephanie about. I'm like,
yeah,
now?
That was weird. Suddenly you're giving her agency. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, I just feel like I should, like, almost like I shouldn't be in the middle of this. What are you talking about? You just are the one that got out of the car.
You orchestrated the entire thing. And the best is now they have to go to a hotel to rest.
Yes.
And to talk this out and let it sink in. And he just sits on the edge of the bed like a big old slug. Like, he's just like, oh, my moist lips. You know, like, oh, I hate him. I hate him so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, another tank top. Another
yes,
tank top.
Yes, he's got the tank top on.
Yes.
What is with the tank tops and the jewelry?
I don't know. I don't know. These guys, they think they look hot.
If I see my husband in a tank top and he's carrying a necklace in his hand, I'm getting in the car and driving away.
But the big thing at the hotel. So finally, and I'm like, good, Justin, he asks her again, what did she say? And of course, Becky's like, well, I don't feel like I should be in the middle. And Justin's like, listen, she's not going to talk to me. And you were the one there.
It's so, done. It's over.
Come on. Yeah. Just tell me what's going on. So she tells him and he is upset, but the devastation, Becky at one point says, I need someone.
Yep.
Like she's wondering, she's like, well, she's saying we can still be friends. I'm like, what are you talking about? Did she say that? That
she did not say that. And she's never going to talk to these weirdos again. Mm-hmm. And don't they have 6 children?
Yes.
You have, it always astounds me when people who have, especially a lot of children, talk about their lives being empty. It's like, you can be friends with your children once they're grown. Like, once they're grown doesn't mean they go away forever.
Yeah.
I'm closer to my mom now than I ever was.
Yeah.
Like, you have people in your life. You have this idiot and you have 6 children.
Yeah. I feel like it's back to that same thing of my stepfather told me that, you know, I have to be part of a celestial, I won't get to the celestial kingdom unless I'm part of a group, right? Is that she's panicking about her soul?
You're right. I always forget there's a religious element with these two.
Yeah. I feel like that's what I think she is so convinced that they need to have other wives. And this is a part that I think is so interesting. It's like, right, Shane has no game. Justin and Becky have no game, right? Because these people, they meet and marry so young that they've never been forced to date and really kind of like, oh, I like them, but they don't like me. Or, oh, I have to learn that I can't start with these certain questions.
Yeah.
And I have clients all the time that I work with that we have to learn to date, you know, because they're jumping in way too fast or not enough or whatever it is. It's a practice, you know, just like job interviewing or podcasting or anything else. It's a practice. You have to get better at it. And I think some of these people just never learned. They never learned. And now here they are in their 40s.
It makes me question too, did they ever, like, okay, so if I was Becky and I had 6 children, I would be like, the time I want a sister wife is when 4 of these kids are under the age of 5, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
That's when you want to bring the sister wife in to help you with the children. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see what Janelle and Christine did for each other.
Yeah,
that's what you want. That's the ideal situation. Why? It feels like, and I don't know if this is accurate, but what they're trying to portray to us is that they've waited till now to do this. Like, Stephanie was kind of the first go round, and she's only been around a year.
Stephanie's the first one that said yes.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, were they trying to get people in this entire time?
Yeah.
Or did they decide to do this maybe once their kids got older? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. I don't know either, because I wouldn't be surprised either way. I would not be surprised if for 17, 18 years now, or 20 years, however long they've been together, that these two have been trying to do this in some capacity. Not all the time, not with, you know, not a tons of attention like they are now. But mm-hmm. I do wonder if they've always been out there looking and it's never worked. Or it's been a lot of this kind of stuff.
Well, don't forget what Justin said to us on the couch. Oh, I could find somebody to have sex with tomorrow. That's easy. Mm-hmm. I can't find somebody to Okay. Really? That's easy? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm a big component that, you know, I don't think it's that hard to find sex in the world. It's hard to find someone who wants to continue to have sex with you and hang out with you when you're not having sex.
That's the thing. And if you're approaching women to have sex with you and you got squeaky Frome with you there, I'm not going near you. So mm-hmm. like, is she involved in this? I don't know.
Oh, is she the cock blocker? Is she like inadvertently? Is she the one that's like,
she's trying to be the cock, I don't know, procurer, but is the cock blocker?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the repeller. And then at the end, Justin says, we need to figure out for sure what her deal is. What? You're still.
She said no. Huh? She said no.
You're trying to figure out what her deal is. Her deal is that she says no. And for whatever reason, she reaches out to the two of you in these moments. And you don't need to know why she's doing that. You just need to get out of the cycle of it and tell her, I'm not doing this with you anymore.
Well, you know what this is code for. What her deal is I need to find out what's wrong with her. Why is she rejecting me? Because something's wrong with her.
Me? Just?
Right? I mean, I'm wearing this tank top. Come on.
She's seen me in my blue tank top?
Okay, let me ask you a question. You have to be in a room with Garrick and Justin, both wearing tank tops. Who are you in a room with?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is worse. I think this is worse. I think I have to go with Justin. I just don't think I could handle Garrick. I feel like I could bully Justin into shutting up.
That's true.
I feel like That's I true. Could just yep. control him.
Yep. You're probably right.
And mm-hmm. And I also feel like, you know, I'm always fascinated by people and I'm always like digging into things. So I would use the time to like, I want to get to know Justin. And I feel like Justin would tell me what's going on with him. Like, I would want to know the neuroses of Justin. I don't think Garrick knows who he is. So I don't.
Well, Garrick would be trying to bang you. I don't know if Justin would without Becky. I think Becky is kind of the living personification of his dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She wants to get into you. I don't feel like I don't feel like Justin would do that alone without her.
Yeah, I think he would be like, well, I have to wait for permission from Becky. So, you know, let's just wait till this thing opens up and then maybe we'll see.
He'd be like, did you see Game of Thrones last night? Like, he would just be like this average dude without her.
Yeah, yeah. Oy vey. But yeah, neither one of those. All right. Well, we got to do it. We got to go to the Mary Fields.
Here we go.
My question is, did you at all think that Natalia was going to say no? Because I kind of thought not. The producers were making it seem like she was going to, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, why is she saying yes?
I never thought she would say no. I 100% thought she would say yes.
I guess I haven't been watching enough 90 Day, but I'm like, but you've just been calling these people out. Like, Natalia, you are my hero. You see what's happening here.
Yep.
What? Okay. Why are you now?
I don't know. I think maybe she's in it to secure her bag. I don't know, but she's in this for some reason, and I don't know what it is. And I think her mom knows the real reason. It's just kind of in the background, like, go ahead, girl, do your thing, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't think she loves him for one second. I think Natalia, she thinks he's an idiot. Yeah. But you she's in she's, it for something.
So then what, though? I mean, I understand everyone's always like money and citizenship, but she seems to have a good life. You know, she's got this great mom she's, you know, just graduated from law school. Like, why would you want to pick everything up and do this with these people?
I don't know. Maybe she's just like, hey, if these morons want to give me a bunch of money and I just have to bang this guy once in a while, I could do that. I could close my eyes and get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. Interesting. I just didn't think she was going to say no. I did not think that.
Okay. I was... I was questioning what was going to happen here. I wanted
her to burn the house down with him in it, yeah. But I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. So it starts off with Danielle pulls Natalia away to give her this very special necklace.
Oh, dear God.
And I'm trying to, my artistry is terrible. I'm trying to it's like an eye. If you did not watch it, it's like this eye with this infinity symbol in the middle.
That is not an infinity symbol. They call it that, but that is not it.
But the thing is that it's, and they said, but it's like hearts interconnected. I'm like, so where are the hearts? And there's a bunch of diamonds. There's lots of diamonds. And then mm-hmm. it's also red and red with the
It looks like an hourglass inside of the Rolling Stones logo, the lips. That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Like to me. But we were just calling it a vagina necklace because everybody thought it looked like a vagina.
Yeah, it does. It mm-hmm. very much does. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't be phallic. What's the equivalent?
Right, I don't know what the female equivalent of that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's almost like she's here saying, here's my vagina, sister.
Well, and I wonder, are they going to have five of these made and give? She does say, right? We're going to give mm-hmm. them to the other women that we collect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got five. Now, I want to know, are they all red? Or is there okay, we're going to give the next one is going to be green.
Are they going to all have emeralds? A color like the Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, yes. Mm. And then he could just say green. Red.
Get over here.
It's your turn. Wash my tank top.
he wears a color coordinating tank top each one he's banging. Yes.
But have you noticed that with Garrick, with the confessionals and when you see him in person, he's got white tank top, black mm-hmm. tank top. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I had more time, I would really break down is black tank top when he's, I'm in the confessionals and I'm going to be honest with you, is white tank top oh, I'm pretending that I don't quite understand how apps work. How do apps work?
I can build houses, but I don't know how an app works.
I signed up for 10 of them, but I have no mm-hmm. idea how to get off of them. Oh, should I? That was the best. Watching him first be like, huh? I didn't know. Oh,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And then the next, when they wouldn't take that, he's like, I didn't want to be rude. It's like, so which one was it?
And Danielle, she just seized on that moment mm-hmm. to go after him because she felt safe in that moment.
Yes.
Because somebody else was attacking him.
Yeah. And there was a camera crew there.
Yeah.
So she's like, I can finally say what I really think. And so that's the parts where I don't get Danielle, which is what is happening here?
I have a lot of mixed feelings on her. I've been saying from the get-go that I think she's complicit in this and I think it's gross. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's as innocent as everyone thinks she is. Two things can be true, right? He could have manipulated the shit out of her, but mm-hmm. she could also be, like I said, just as complicit in this because she's feeding these women to the wolves. Like she is helping this happen. And it just feels gross to me. Feels gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's as sweet and innocent as we think she is.
Yeah, well, and then we see her, she gives her the necklace, and then we see her go in for a kiss, like a lip-on-lip kiss.
It's weird.
And Natalia pulls back, whoa, hold on, that's not part of the ad I answered.
She's like, I'm not Roberta. I saw that season.
So I missed that. So did she and Roberta kiss on the lips? And did she and Roberta have more, not that they were having sex, but did they have a more intimate relationship?
Oh, yes, they were very close. But it was the same way she talks about Natalia. At one point she says about Natalia, let's go get you dressed because Garrick has, it's very objectifying all the time. Mm-hmm. And she was like that with Roberta as well. I don't know. There's this gross, power dynamic. It's disgusting. I don't like it at all.
Well, and there was a movie that came out. It was really good. It was about this woman that escapes from a cult. It was a fictional. It's Mary Magdalena Margaret, another M name.
Okay.
And it was about, who was it? It was the Olsen, the oldest Olsen daughter, not the Olsen twins.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I forget her name, but I know who you're talking
about. And Sarah Paulson's in it. And it's really good. It's like an independent film, but basically it's about her escaping from this cult. And you sort of see it in flashbacks. She's with her sister now. And then you see these flashbacks of it. And the big thing was that when you, your introduction to the cult is that they, this woman gets you dressed and then basically you're drugged and you wake up with the guy on top of you, you know, the leader of this, of this cult.
Yeah.
So that's what it felt like. Like, I'm going to dress you now. And then you see, cause you've seen the main character go through it. So I think, the another young girl has to go through it. And so that character is like dressing her like complicit, like continuing the cycle of, I now know what exactly is going to happen to you, but I'm going to dress you up and get you in there and give you the drugs and all that kind of stuff. And it's very creepy. Very creepy.
If you look at Danielle Merrifield's Instagram, which I don't recommend doing with, on a full stomach, she's very into this. Like, oh, there is no indication. Oh, I heard you looking at it on air.
Yes,
I last was, week at Brooks going, this is not good podcast fodder. Like, but there's no doubt in my mind that she is into this and is just as into it as he is.
Yes,
I don't know, because at first I was like, oh my god, does she not? Now Poodle has a theory. That she wants to be the last one standing to see the light go out in his eyes. And I'm like, okay, maybe, maybe. I could get behind that a little bit.
Oh, okay, maybe.
So maybe, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It's, but she's not innocent.
Mm-mm. No. And again, I think it's much like the other couples where it's a little bit of, oh, I don't want to do the difficult thing and leave this marriage, or I don't want to do the difficult thing and stand up for myself, or, you know, say no. So the more I'm diving in, the more agency I have. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work
that
way.
That isn't control.
And you know the rumor about her, right? I don't know if you want to spoil.
Oh, and someone sent us something on Instagram this morning. They had a baby.
They have a baby. Yes. She was doing a live and somebody saw a little bouncy chair or something in the background. But there had been rumors before that she was seen out and about pregnant. Okay.
So,
and then I think in the next time on or the coming up on, if you watch her scene where she's sitting on the couch, the way she's holding her belly, I think she's pregnant there.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay. So it's in. So it's after this, because we see her on social media and she looks like she normally looks.
Yeah,
so
I think she already just spit out the baby.
Mm-hmm. So she just, got off social media to have this baby and then came back. Yeah. Yeah. So the best is Garrick's like, you know what? I need to propose because we're leaving the next day. We learned that they're leaving the next day. So Garrick was like, oh, crap, this has got to happen. This has got to happen today.
He has to do what I call the slow intimacy rollout. Like he immediately puts it in. I got to put all these steps in motion to get to the end goal, which is I need to fuck this girl before I get on plane.
Yes. Before we get on, before we get on the plane. So he's like, you know what? We'll seal the deal. I'm going to learn some Portuguese. I'm finally going to learn 7 words in her language.
It's very reminiscent of Kenny's Spanish. Azul. Rojo. it's just so bad. It's so bad.
Well, the other thing is I heard him practicing and I was like, oh, good. He's got a whole speech. I thought he had a whole speech. No, it's about 7 words. Like, I love you. Yeah. Will you marry me?
It's more Portuguese than I know, but still. Yes.
You're not marrying someone.
Right. And you're rich. And this is like the third person you've dated from Brazil. Buy some Duolingo. Get in there. Get a language tutor.
Yes, yes. So then we see, he talks about like he's doing all these traditions. She is his rose. They have 11 roses. We see the ring, the flower ring.
Excuse me, you're skipping the best part.
Oh, what did I skip?
Why is she his rose? Because God told him on a mountaintop.
Oh, yes. God tells him so much that I sort of just like, oh, God told you that too? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. I just take it as truth now.
He climbed that mountain much like, I don't know Catholicism, but is it Moses who goes up the mountain to get the tablets? Sure. Ingalls climbing up that mountain to pray for her baby brother's soul. He goes up to that mountaintop. Like, it sounds like the day after Roberta dumped them, he goes up to the mountaintop. And he's praying. He's praying real hard for God to give him a new Brazilian piece of ass. And God comes down and vocally speaks is what he says to him and says, there is a rose out there waiting for you and she will heal your family.
Mm.
That's what happened. And then Danielle says, did God tell you to propose to me too?
That's
and
right. He's like, that's what started the whole conversation. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you know that made her feel so good. That made her feel
so good. Well, they had a game of telephone with God. God whispered something to Danielle and then told Garrick, now you have to go ask Danielle what I told her because it's a big secret. So he goes over to Danielle. I'm going to write a children's book with this. He goes over to Danielle. And he's like, what did God tell you? And she's like, that you're supposed to be my husband. And I'm throwing up all over my office. It was gross.
Yeah. Well, and so we come back to this whole thing with the Ryans, right? Which is that same thing of, can you imagine this is your friend, you have a platonic relationship, and then they come to you and they say, well, God told me that we should be together. And then you just go, huh, okay, great,
It's so bizarre. Like, I am not religious at all. I'm an atheist, but I am angry on behalf of Christians out there because this has got to be maddening to think that this man just manipulates and uses God in this way is gross. This is not, no, it's gross.
Though I'm just like, God, what? God's really spending a lot of time with Garrick. He's never coming to me and talking to me and telling me what to do.
No, God is real wrapped up in Garrick Merrifield's dick. That's what we always say. He's real invested in it, needs to help him. And all religious people should be annoyed by this, whether you're Christian or not, whatever.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, and then she asks him, like, were you nervous when you asked me to marry you? And he's like, oh, yes, I was. And here we go.
She has to relive that 5 minutes of when he loved her.
I wrote this down. I was like, it was like a teleportation, supernatural teleportation.
Oh, yeah. He says, God put us in a supernatural teleportation, like, bubble and made us marry each other. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So watch out for that teleportation thing.
Like, what is this? Is it a bubble? Is it a is it a teleporter? What is it?
Yeah. It's whatever, Garrick, you know, whatever mood he's in with his tank tops.
You know what I have to say, though, Tess? Keep talking, Garrick. Keep talking. Because I'm here for every word of it.
Because we see, there's some more stuff with them, but like, we see the scenes. Whoa. Things are, Garrick's did not delete the apps. He did not.
No, he did not.
At all. So poor Natalia's like, restaurant? Restaurant?
She just wants to go out and have a glass of wine.
Yeah. She was like, God, I've been cooped up with you people for 3 days. The only time you took me out was the cenote, which I hated. And now I'm all dressed up. Look how pretty I look. And I want to go out and have a glass of wine and see Cancun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we know this, it's happening. And Danny and the mom are like off on the side watching. And, you know, there's a big whole thing of pausing and commercials and all that. But she says yes. And she says, I love Danny and I love the boys. And I'm so happy. And they're popping champagne. And mom's just like, listen, what am I going to do?
Mom has the approach that Jamila should have, which is, this isn't for me. I don't like it. But, what am I going to do? She's an adult.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is, because you could see how much healthier those two are than Naeem and his mom. It's a little bit of like, I'm sure the mom said, I don't approve of this, but I'm here to support you. And, fine. I'm going to tell you what I think. But after this, I'm done telling you.
Like, yeah. Yep.
And be normal. You can still be friends and be nice and disagree.
Yes.
So then we see the creepiest scene of all, which is that night we see Garrick packing things up and then we get knock, knock, knock. And you can sense already that Danielle is in a weird state. She's like, oh, I need to be a cool girl. I need to be cool with this. I need to, I'm so happening. I'm so hip, winking and
bow, chicka, bow, wow, winking. Whatever, dude.
Stop being the cool girl. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't need to see all that. And so she's like, got this blanket wrapped around her. I'm like, do you not have pants on?
It's weird. And he's doing the intimacy rollout.
Yes.
Like, the minute he put a ring on her finger, he was like, okay, now we do the next thing.
Yes.
And so now it starts.
Yes. No, it is. Because he had to turn to Danielle. Or at some point, he had to turn to Danielle. And he says, I think it's really important that sister sleep with us tonight, that just the two of us together.
Yep.
And then, of course, he's like, we'll cuddle and we'll do this and we'll do that. And,
well, it's better than when she had the breakdown outside the hotel room in wherever they were. Where did they go? Puerto Vallarta? I forget.
They were on the other side. Cabo?
Cabo. Mm-hmm. And they were there and she was having a breakdown crying outside the door while he was inside with Roberta. So this was a little better.
At least she approves of it, or she not approves of it, but she at least knows what's happening. And so she leaves. I don't know. Is she going to go sleep in the room with the mom, or
I don't know where she's going? Is she sleeping on the couch?
And then are you sleeping with your kids? And then do your kids now know what's going on?
Do you tell them why you're sleeping with them? Are you like dad's snoring, or are you like dad's banging a Brazilian?
Yeah.
Like, what do you say?
I don't know. Those kids are too old to not know what's going on.
They need to keep those kids off this TV.
Oh, those poor boys. Mm-hmm. Those poor, poor boys. Yeah. But this dynamic that you're watching with the three of them, you're like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm at home. And I'm like,
you could tell he was staring daggers through Danielle. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. That's what he was staring at her.
Yeah. Like why are you taking so long?
Get out. Get out.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the last thing is they both turn off the lights. And then obviously, you know, so we shall see. But the scenes make it look like, you know, poor Natalia is gone. You know, they get back home and immediately he's like, okay, I got, you know, I didn't delete the apps. Well,
they did this to Roberta. This is what eventually broke up their relationship with Roberta. They came back. He couldn't wait. He started dating somebody else and she got really annoyed with it and aggravated with it. And she was like, no, I'm done.
So is that why I thought Roberta was using them? I thought Roberta had no intention of ever coming. I think there was some of that too.
Uh-huh. But she was really pissed off about that other woman. Pissed off about it. He just can't. You got to close one deal, dude. Close one deal.
Yeah. Have the wedding. Jesus. Have the wedding. But no, but that's the thing. Close one deal means sex.
Yes,
I think that the minute he's like, I got in and I got to keep going. And I think he's just like, I'm going to keep going. Listen, I'm going to have sex with as many people as I can in this process.
Yeah,
I think that's what he's thinking and disguising it as God.
So in the previews, he's dating a Muslim woman from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
And we'll she seems real okay with everything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those two faiths combine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will be. But I think that woman, if anyone, seems to be a little bit like, hey, I'm here for the party. You know, like this is a nice big house. I'll stay here.
Yeah. You know, and then
I'm sick of Michigan.
We also see some Justin's dating a woman who like wants Becky out of the way.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want Becky around here anymore. It's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, she is the creeper.
Again, leaning in. Okay. Yes.
And then we also see the Davises, which we didn't see this episode. We see the Davises. And sure enough, Did that scene from last episode bug you as much as it bugged me? Where
I heard
April
you guys
sat her
talking
down?
About it. Yeah, it didn't in the moment, but you know, I'm not trained to see those things like you are. I'm just like I was so focused on how they do laundry, I couldn't get past anything else. It's like, why are you washing everything inside out? What are you doing? I didn't know what was happening.
I that just bugged me to no end. But that comment of that you basically it was like you have money that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Or you have a financial thing that you don't know about. And then it becomes about how you've affected us and how you know, you doing this thing and just leaving and how it's impacted all of us versus what have we done that made it so that you felt like you had to run away.
And Danielle Davis, I always do her like this. Like everything she says starts off calm and goes real high at the end. So she'll be like, I'm only 24. Like that's how she talks. Like, I always give fear her math. Like she just goes crazy all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel she's the victim here.
Yes.
Oh, she's the victim. She is 24.
Yeah. She's never been in a relationship before. She said that. She's like, I've never had a real relationship. I'm like, this should not be the first one.
I think the thing with her is, and I think you guys touched on this, like, she probably doesn't want to marry some woman.
Yes. Yes. I think that's part of it too. I don't think she's comfortable with it. And I don't blame her because I think she feels like, I'm not picking this person. You're picking this person.
Yeah.
And I don't want to marry someone that I don't pick. And that's not what I signed up for. I signed up for this. And
they're like, we told you that. Okay. Well, she was 22 when you told her that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a whole power dynamic that I'm not comfortable with in that setup.
Oh yeah. And the other part of it too is think back to when you were 22, right?
I was an idiot.
Yeah. But I also had this attitude of I'll figure it out. Sure. Yeah, no problem. I'll figure it out. Not really knowing like, oh crap, I'm not going to figure this out. This isn't going to change.
No, I was a moron. I thought if I married my first husband, that would stop all the problems. Oh, we just need to get married. That's what the problem is here. I just need to legally tie myself to him now.
And that didn't fix everything?
Things will get better. No.
Getting married didn't make anything better.
Not at all. Not at all. But I was an idiot. Like we all are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
And you make mistakes and you do things and they just shouldn't be permanent. You know, that's why I'm always saying, don't make them permanent. Don't make permanent mistakes. You know, make them casual. And so she is now, right? That might seem like getting married, legally married, might be just too much for her.
Too much.
But then April says to her in this, Nick says to her, we see this conversation, we will slow down, we will slow down, we will slow down. And then in these scenes, what's coming up, again, we don't know how much time is elapsed.
Cut to the hot tub, the hot tub seduction.
But I find it hard to believe that the producers put their cameras down for years and then came back. It's like, no, it was a month. Mm-hmm. They waited a month. Mm-hmm. And while Jen and April and Nick were looking for women and they're like, okay, so when can we introduce this woman? You think in like a month? So, because April doesn't want to work anymore. April wants to be at home with Nick thinking.
They get her in the hot tub just like they did to Danielle. They brought her over and threw her in that little hot tub. Mm. And it was creepy. I'm sorry, but more than two or three people in a hot tub is way too intimate for me.
Well, and also you're all kissing each other and you're all together. No. And then we see the scene of the girl is like backing into Danielle and Danielle's like,
I know. You know
she's crying in the hot tub.
She just needs to get out of there. She needs to get out of there. We need to extract her.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she has. I mean, I don't know. I don't follow them on social media. Is she still with them?
Well, she still has that. I think she still has that lease. I don't know.
Oh, God, she still has a lease.
Mary Jane asked them about the lease when she interviewed them.
Yeah. And what did they say?
And I think Nick said, we had to do some shuffling and she did have a lease. So I'm hoping she moved into there with her little lease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. But she lasted two days. So what happened in those 2 days?
They manipulated the fuck out of her in 2 days.
You think Nick, they were just emailing her and like texting her?
Emailing her. Dear
so
Danielle, please come home to mother and me.
Like a pen and paper, a quill. Yeah, I'm that old.
No, I think that they just terrorized her and guilted her. We saw that. We saw April. I didn't see it in the moment, but I heard you talking about it. You were absolutely right. April manipulated her in that moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Oh, so crappy. So crappy.
So gross.
But goddamn, the show is good.
Oh,
it is a gem. We've seen some things that say there's 8 episodes. We've seen other things that said that it's 14. I really hope it's not 14.
I think the last couple seasons were 12.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be 12.
14 seems a little long. Like, did the Salahuddins really have enough material for 14?
On part 5 of the single life tell all. So, you know, never put it past Matt Sharp to drag things out.
Oh, okay. Listen. Yeah. I saw a few moments of the single life tell all right before this started. I saw Mother Debbie and that other woman yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm. The battle of the Debbies.
Mother Debbie versus Miss Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Yep. And those two going after each other, you're like, oh, God, you are not giving older women a good name
at all.
Woof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was sad. Like, keep your name out of my mouth. I'm like, you guys are really loving being reality stars, don't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Big time. All right. Well, what a show. So, Amy, tell us where to find you. Give us all the info, the scoop.
Mm-hmm. So we're on Little Miss Recap. We're on Instagram at Little Miss Recap. And you know, we cover shit shows like this, documentaries, some scripted stuff. We're doing Virgin River. Did you ever watch Virgin River?
Yeah, I did. I watched the first couple seasons and then
it's so cheesy and disconnected. So
lovely. And now I'm at a point where it's like, oh God, I think I have to start at the beginning because I've forgotten a lot. Yeah. But
I mean, when the world is burning down around you, some Virgin River just gives you a little warmth in the soul there.
Okay.
So we're doing that and we're doing love. We're going to do Love During Lockup. We're doing Love in Paradise. We're doing so much.
Oh, I saw Love in Paradise. Did that start already?
No, it starts. So the single life tell all ends this week and then it'll be next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Looks good.
One guy's addicted to sperm donation. I mean, come on.
Oh, God.
This stuff writes itself.
I just want to know, when's Couple to Thruple coming back?
Not soon enough. MILF Manor's coming back, though.
Oh, it is?
Oh, and we're 100% going to be covering it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
So Little Miss Recap, any other follow you on Instagram at Little Miss Recap?
Yeah, I'm just on Instagram. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So if you want to check us out, please, you can go to our Instagram at Psych Legal Pop, Instagram or TikTok. We have a Patreon now. So
I'm a member.
Yes. And are you enjoying it?
I'm loving it.
Good. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of what do you think of our bonuses? Because we're constantly like, is this
your bonuses
interesting to people, or is this?
Mm. I like your bonuses. I'm very interested to hear the ask me questions.
Yes, but, yes. So if you are a Patreon, member, you get to ask us questions. So Amy, ask us questions. Yes. Send us in.
I'm going to ask Brooke how many wives my husband can legally have, and I'm going to ask you, what is wrong with me that I can't stop watching this shit? Those are going to be my questions.
Okay. Those are good questions. So come check us out at patreon.com/psychlegalpop. Another way to support the show is please give us a 5-star rating and review. It really does help us out. And subscribe to the show. We are here Tuesdays covering Seeking Sister Wives and Thursdays doing our documentaries. And we're in the midst of our Mendocino County.
you know, got a good review on my show.
I did.
You did?
The one you sent me?
Yes.
Oh.
Somebody said they enjoyed our little sister energy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. Because we are going to start our separate.
American Nightmare?
Or it might have been Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. But
yes. So I was writing Amy and I said, okay, this is it. We got to start our little sister podcast. And then I'm thinking in my mind while I'm typing this, Brooke's going to kill me. And then I write to you. And then I just thought Brooke's going to kill me. Like, this is the power of the big sister of like, I don't know if I can do this. You know,
we Brooke love them so guys, mad. But man, their presence is large and looming.
Yes. Yes. Well, you just saw your sister in New York. I mean,
I did. Like, you know what was nice? She did pay for dinner. So that was good. That was a little bonus. Good.
Yeah.
A little bonus. Yeah. Yep. I kind of forgave her for trying to suffocate me all through my childhood for that. We'll see.
Yes. Yes. So our little sister podcast, which is coming to somewhere near you, because we're like too scared to put it out. So we're just going to do it in our own.
There we go. It'll just live in a vacuum somewhere.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.